has the power to deliver you from every sickness and disease, every demonic oppression, every demonic possession, every foul spirit, every lie of the enemy, every familiar spirit that is not holy. The name of Jesus, the name of Jesus will deliver you. I thank you for it now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's something about that name. When you worship that name, when you praise His name, even just when you speak His name and you faith is attached to that name, it has great power to dispel all darkness, to remove all fear, all doubt, all unbelief, all sickness, all the name of Jesus. You'd think I'd be preaching on the name of Jesus tonight, but I wasn't, but we'll see. Everything is about Jesus, especially for the believer. That's what we live by, church. Again, I want to welcome those listening online. You know, tonight is going to be a healing service tonight. And it's not just physical healing. And that's what the Lord was speaking to me as I was worshiping. It's not just physical healing. It is that as well. But I'm talking about healing over the mental realm and the emotional realm. Strongholds. Deliverance in the realm of believing things that are lies. And that's healing. When you get a lie removed out of your life, great healing can come. Great strength can come. When you get clarity and you see what God's Word says about you and the darkness and the fogginess and the cloudiness is removed, great healing can come. Your ability to not only be ministered to when unforgiveness is moved, but your ability to minister to others is a great healing. There's no better feeling than to be able to minister and see the love of God transform somebody's life. Amen. Amen. It's powerful. Tonight's message is on words of healing. Words have power, great power to bring about healing, to bring about deliverance. And you say, Pastor, I thought last time when you ministered on healing 2 weeks ago, it was hear and be healed. So what is it? Well, what you hear will dictate whether you are healed or not. Because if you're not healing, if you're not hearing the gospel and you're not using the name of Jesus, healing's not going to come. So hearing must take place, but what you hear is just as important. Because you can hear things, but that will not bring your healing. But when you put faith to what is being spoken and you hear a faith-filled message or you hear the Word of God and you receive it, I'm telling you, it's the Word of God that brings about your healing. It's God's Word. That's what you must hear. When it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by what? The Word. So speaking the Word releases the healing power of God. And when you hear that Word, you receive your healing. So I talked about the hearing part the other week. I'm talking about the speaking part tonight. What words are you saying? Because your words are building block to your life. Your words you speak are literally building the kingdom of God in your life or taking away the blocks of the kingdom in your life and building a worldly kingdom or your own kingdom. Your words have great power. And your words have the power to bring about healing. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. But I want you to understand something. Words have significant power. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death. Proverbs 18:21 says it. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So literally, what you speak, that is what you will eat. And that is what will be produced in your life, what you speak. Life, death, and life. So death is in the power of the tongue, but so is life. I choose life. So what I'm saying, what I want you to understand is, if each word you speak is a block that builds your house and your life. Every word you speak has the potential to build good or build bad. That's how powerful words are. Every word we speak is going to be judged. That means every word has the power to build the kingdom or dismantle God's kingdom. See, you can believe something, and then when you speak the opposite of it, what you believe doesn't matter because what you speak has the power to take out what you believe. Think about that. We can believe, yeah, God heals. I believe God heals. But then you pray a prayer that is not faith-filled, that believes that God heals, you're not going to see the healing because your words dismantled, removed your belief system. You see where I'm getting at? Your words have great power. There's times I've figured in my life that if I keep quiet about a situation that I don't understand, it's more beneficial to me, because if I speak wrongly, that's more detrimental than not speaking at all. Anybody ever experienced that in your life? Maybe personally or towards somebody else? Because you didn't understand this situation. If you stayed quiet till you got the revelation to speak the right thing, you should keep quiet. That's what I want you to understand. And when it comes to healing, man, you can be feeling a certain way, but you can literally speak death into that situation and cause it to increase, or you can speak the word of God and life into it and remove it. See what I mean here? Your words have great power, and they can bring, God's word can bring healing to you, and He will tonight. Tonight, I'm telling you, God's word has great power to bring about healing. Amen. So what I want to see, there's a couple different avenues I feel the Lord's taking me on about this, but three words came to me: situations, circumstances, and conditions. Guess what? We all deal with those, don't we? Situations come. Circumstances come. Conditions happen. You know, it rained today. That's a condition that happened. Then you deal with it, right? Condition or a circumstance. You wake up with a scratchy throat. What are your words when you feel that attacking you? What are your words? Think about that. Because words have great power. Words have great power. Oh, I feel really bad today. Well, you may feel that way, but your words are backing up what you're feeling. So the circumstance in the situation, we can literally, our words can either increase that or remove it out of the way. You see where I'm coming from here. I think you know where I'm going. All these subjects, every subject in our life, every situation in our life has the ability to be changed by words. Words have the power to change every situation. Now, situations are going to come, but our words either cement that situation or pick it up and throw it into the sea. That's the power of the Word of God. And I'm going to get to that about removing mountains in your life. What's your mountain? You speak to the mountain, right? I'm going to share that, but I want you to see something, that you're not going to stop a circumstance from coming, but you can stop it from staying. You understand what I mean here? The sickness floats all through the air. You're not going to stop sickness and disease from floating in the air, but you can stop it from resting on you by your words. You have the power to say, sickness and disease, no thank you. You blow right on past my house and my life. That's your words. But your words are dictated by what you believe. Because if you believe God's word, you speak to the mountain, you speak to the sickness and say, that is not mine. But if your belief system isn't backing up God's word, isn't on God's word, what happens? You receive that sickness and disease, and then you start speaking that you have it. So you're pretty much fulfilling the prophecy of what you're feeling. And that's where we as believers need to take a stand and say, you know what? Just because I feel a certain way, I'm not going to speak that. I'm not going to speak that. And I'm telling you, when you get to a place, not just with sickness and disease, but I'm talking about emotionally. I'm talking about mentally. When a thought comes your way, you have to handle that the same way. There's thoughts that are everywhere. You can see things and get a thought. But are you going to let that thought be in you? When you hear something negative about somebody, how do you perceive that? Do you speak the same thing in gossip? I'm telling you right now, people are okay with gossiping in the church in general. They are okay with talking about everything, leadership, other people, no problem. But I'm telling you, you know what gossip does? That plants the seed of what you're gossiping about. Literally, your words are literally allowing what you're talking about to come on you. But people won't, they don't see that in the spirit realm, but death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when you get on board with something negative and talk about it, you're literally putting that right on you. Right on, and it's detrimental. This is bigger than just the physical side of sickness and disease. This is talking about, as a believer, your words have significant power. Joshua 1:8, I don't have it on the screen, and that's fine, you don't need to put it up. But Joshua 1:8 says, "This: do not let the book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate on it day and night." Why is that? Why did Joshua conquer? Why did he overcome? That right there. He spoke the word and he kept the law and he meditated on it. What does meditate mean? Meditate means to mutter it. That means to be speaking it. You may not be preaching to yourself like I'm preaching to you, but throughout the day, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strong tower. God is with me. I am the healed of the Lord. What you speak, you hear what you speak. So literally, your faith can increase in and of yourself. You don't have to come to church to only hear the word. Guess what? You can put podcast in and hear the word. You can mutter the word and literally build your faith by speaking and it going right in your ear, right into your spirit, man. And all of a sudden you're like, you're encouraged. I'm telling you right now, I've been there where I've been at places where, you know, I saw something or I felt something and I was like, that's not for me. That's not good. And even when you pray, say you're driving down the road and you see an accident, how you perceive that through God, the lens of God's word dictates how you're going to speak. Lord, be with those people. Lord, I speak healing. Watch over the first responder. And you just start declaring the word and all of a sudden your faith is built up. What do you, praise and worship does the same thing. You're singing, you're speaking God's word. That's why it's so important for praise and worship to be the word of God, scriptural. Why is that? Because that scripture is spoken and sung and your faith builds and you open up your heart to receive what God has. It plows the ground and your faith gets built up to receive God's word. See where the word of God has great power when you speak it. When you speak God's word, you can remove anything out of your way in this world. Doesn't the Bible say, submit to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee? How do you submit to God and resist the enemy? How do you do that? Submit to God is surrender yourself to God. Lord, you are my king, you are my Lord, you are my Savior. Thank you, Lord. I'm submitted to, underneath your authority, and resisting the enemy is speaking to it. To resist the enemy is to speak to him. Devil, remove. I rebuke you now in Jesus' name. That is submitting to God. Submitting to God is taking his word, saying this is the final authority, and then you speak it to your situation, and the enemy has to go. Amen. Who's the author of sickness and disease? Enemy? Huh? How do you deal with them? Quote the word. How did Jesus deal with his temptation? It is written. It is written. He spoke the word. If we don't know the word, our words do not have the power to remove, because Satan knows scripture. Demons know scripture. Apollos I know. Jesus I know. Who are you? The enemy knows who I am, because I speak the word to my body, to my family, to my health, all these things. So you can see here that the power of words can change a situation. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that the word is not powerful enough for that situation. Nowhere does it say that. So all the power we need is wrapped up in the Bible, right here. And the Holy Spirit is the one that brings it to our remembrance to speak to the situation. Every single time. You have an emotion. You have a feeling that someone... Whatever the situation is, whatever, if it's not of God, you have the ability to not dwell with it and not have it attach itself to you. That's the power of a word. So you can build your life around the word. Amen. So you are strong in the word. So you speak the word. And every situation has to. If you don't know what the word says about the situation, it's going to come upon you. That's why knowledge is power. That's why the word of God, when you quote the word and you know the word, you're able to speak the word, and it keeps things at bay. That's why being filled with the Spirit is so key, because you have the power in you, the Holy Ghost in you, to be able to push back, and he'll bring that word to your remembrance, and you'll have the boldness to speak. That's why, think about the disciples when they couldn't cast out the demon. It was due to doubt. So they were trying to speak the word. They were trying to cast it out. But doubt was hindering the word from going forth. It didn't have the power it needed to remove the demon. But Jesus said, you have it. You were just doubting. And we need to get to a place where we're confident in God's authority, in his word, that when we speak his word, we believe that it has to go. So if you get if somebody says, I have cancer, you have the remedy by the word of God. You have the remedy by the word of God. Let me share some scriptures with you. Before I get there, I want to share this. This was out of a Charles Capps mini book. And it was in Reader's Digest in 1991. And it's talking about how your words have power, because you can even, people that are healthy, if they speak negative, that actually comes to pass in their life, even though they're healthy. And I want to share this. This was from August 1991 in Reader's Digest. It says, a person's answer to the question, is your health excellent, good, fair, or poor, is a remarkable predictor of who will live or die over the next 4 years, according to new findings. So how you answer that question literally sets in motion your lifespan. And this is a study they did, Reader's Digest. A study of more than 2,800 men and women 65 and older found that those who rate their health poor are 4 to 5 times more likely to die in the next 4 years than those who rate their health excellent. This was a case even in examinations show the respondents to be in comparable health. So it wasn't the health, the literal documentation of health. It was literally what they perceived about themselves and spoke about themselves that made the difference. So literally, your physical health can be extended and lengthened if you believe that it can be. If you believe that cancer can go, that cancer has to go. If you believe that God has given you long life, God's given you long life. Amen. And you have to speak that. You have to speak because you see yourself living long, because you're speaking and you believe that you will live long. And you know, I read that and I thought to myself, my goodness. It goes on and says, these findings are supported by a review of 5 other large studies totaling 23,000 people, which reached similar conclusions. People that have an image of themselves being in poor health will talk about poor health. So when you have an image of poor health, you're going to talk about it. And you get around people that talk the same thing, and they gravitate together. Well, I'm struggling, and I'm in poor health, and I'm getting older, and I'm getting weak. I can't get out of bed. And then, yeah, I got the same problem. I can't get out of bed either. I'm stiff. I'm so, man, I hit 40, and man, everything went to hell. You know, things are just horrible. Well, they congregate together, and they live a life of hell. Yeah, even though. And I've seen it, and I'm not going to uncover anybody, but I've known people with no names that when a husband passes away, and the wife was in perfect health, but she had a broken heart, and she died not long after. And this is somebody I knew personally, totally clean slate health-wise, but she didn't have the desire or the fight to live. If within 2 years, she passed too. But perfect health. Perfect health. So words have power. And your belief system has power. Great power. And I'm glad you're here tonight. And I'm glad you're listening online. Because when you get this in the spirit, it'll literally encourage you and empower you to live and to fight. And to hold on and say, I'm the healed of the Lord. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper in Jesus' name. Because the greater one lives on the inside of me. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. I speak joy. I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Ghost is living on the inside of me, empowering me. I'm the healed of the Lord. Glory to God. You designed me, Lord, to thrive and to be healthy and to be whole. I'll have a clear mind. I'll have clear sight. I'm not believing the lie that COVID or the next RSV, they talk that. And here's the thing. There did another study I was reading about. Between 3 and 20 times of hearing something, you believe it, whether it's true or not. Whether it's true or not. That's why the news throws up on you negativity. Because you hear it enough, you believe it. Shut the stinking thing off and put the word on. Amen. Get the word on. Because you hear that 3 to 20 times, you're going to believe it. The problem with people's belief system is they're listening to the wrong thing. But when you hear the word and it wells up in you, then you start speaking the word and then things start moving out of your way. Amen. When Moses got to the Red Sea, bam! He believed. He believed, parted the Red Sea. Peter, Jesus, if you bid me to come, I'll come. Whoop, right out of the boat he went. He believed in his Savior. He believed in his Lord. When you get it on the inside of you, it'll change the outside of you. Your physical body can literally change by speaking life to it. You can say, knee, line up in Jesus' name. And you know, you can keep doing that. Keep after it. If it feels a little better, keep speaking to it. Hey, line up, knee. You're supposed to line up. Get right, knee. But as soon as you start, well, it's been a long time, and I don't know. I'm getting older these days. I'm falling apart. What are you doing? You're literally taking what God built in you, and you're removing it out of your life. You are deteriorating your life by what you speak. Don't do it. I'm telling you right now, speak life to your body. Amen. Speak like death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I love life. I'm not saying I love the world. I love life. I love the life that God has given me. I love my wife that God has given me. You want healing? I need to speak positive about my wife and my kids. If I want that to be my family. But if I'm that person that goes to work, you know, my wife, she always blah, 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 and all you're doing is throwing up about how neck, and then you go home and you wonder why you have power in your words. Yeah. You can bring healing to your family by what you speak. Yeah. You can build a strong family by speaking life into your family. Yeah. Amen. You can build your own faith by speaking the word of God over your own life. Your faith is based off of what you hear. And your doubt is based off of what you hear. You know, if you hear religion all the time, you become religious. You know, you are what you eat. You are what you hear. Same thing. I know this sounds like a simple message, but this is something that the body of Christ needs to grab a hold of. Because if death and life are in the power of the tongue, man, I choose life. And I choose life for all of you. Amen. Amen. We need not be talking negative about anything. I mean, even speaking life and the kingdom of God against the works of darkness. Our prayer needs to be the word of God. Because we need to build the kingdom of God. If we want this church to expand and grow, we need to be speaking life. Amen. Grow, church. Thank you, God, that you're growing. The walls are going to be like this because they can't hold the people in here. Amen. Amen. If we're constantly, man, things are tough. Man, we live in a religious area. So? Repetition is key. Amen. As long as you're repeating the positive. The word of God. That is the key. The word of God. Luke 6:45 says this. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Oh, imagine that. If you have good thoughts and good words, it brings about good things. Yeah. Hey, is that a great revelation or what? Powerful. Yeah. Hey, a good man, a righteous man, out of the good treasure, the kingdom of God on the inside of him, brings forth good things. Each and every one of you has the power to bring forth good. Very, very good. Because the kingdom lives in you. Hey, I don't care where you live, around the world. It doesn't matter where you live, where God plants you. You are good. You are righteous. You are produced righteousness. Amen. Speak that thing. Speak that thing. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Man, people have negative motives. They speak it. You give someone enough time, what's in their heart will come out. Amen. What's in their heart will come out. You'll know where people are because of what's on the inside. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'm telling you, if you got negativity in your heart, you're going to speak negative, and then you what? You reap what you sow. See, what you speak is reaping what you sow. Amen. You need finances? You speak. Hey, man. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. You say, well, my bank account doesn't look like. My bank account does not own me. My bank account is not who I am. I am a child of the Most High God that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Whatever I have need of, he will create it and make it happen in my life. In Jesus' name. I shall not lack a day in my life. You speak these things. Amen. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. And your faith gets increased, and you can see that taking place in your life. Amen. I'm getting fired up. James 3:2. James 3:2. Now, this is a powerful scripture that when you grab a hold of it, you'll realize something here. Because our tongue is a powerful, powerful thing. If a rudder can turn a ship that's real small, or the bit in a horse's mouth or bridle in a horse's mouth can make that horse go wherever you want it to go. That's what your mouth does. Where do you want to go, church? Where do you want to go? What do you want your body to do? I'll start in verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Let's move on. For we all stumble in many things. So there you go. James is talking about that the ability to stumble is evident, but we have to work at this. Controlling your tongue, it takes work. It takes discipline. Amen. And it's harder for some than others, it seems like. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. That word perfect there is complete. So you are totally complete if you can control your tongue in every situation. Guess what? We're all still working on that, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Oh, I got one amen out of that. We got a lot of complete people here. Praise God. Perfect. Verse 3, indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, as though they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Underline, if you have your Bible, underline that word pilot desires. Guess what? Each one of you is the pilot of your mouth and of your tongue. You have the control of what you say. And your life can go wherever you want it to go, as far as you want it to go. Because you are the pilot of your life. You control the tongue, guess what? You control the whole body. If you can control your tongue, your body will follow suit. Notice it said there in verse 2, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Your body is in control based off of your tongue. Do you see this? So if your tongue is in control, when you speak life to your body has to produce life. See that? I know that may be a heavy revy for you. But think about this. When you, if the tongue has the ability to turn the whole body, what you believe about healing, your mouth has the power through God's word to turn your body that is sick into being made whole. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So see how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. See, your body, or your tongue can defile your body as well. It can build your body, or it can cut your body down. And words can cut others, or they can build others. See the power of the tongue? See how much power is in your mouth? And then you put the name of Jesus in your mouth, whew, and every knee must bow. Every knee must bow, but every name must bow as well. So whatever is in your physical body, your tongue, through God's word, in the name of Jesus, has the power to remove it. You get a hold of that truth, you can live in divine healing. Lord, line up body in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that I am made whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Your body is in subjection to the words you speak. Whoo! Your family is in subjection to your words you speak as parents. Powerful. This is powerful. And people don't want to talk about this. Nobody wants to manage their mouth. They want to just do whatever they want to do. I'm telling you right now, you can build the kingdom of God by speaking the kingdom. Word by word, the kingdom of heaven growing in you. You want to grow spiritually? Watch how you speak. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. So he's saying here, James is literally speaking here, that our tongue is like a fire in a forest fire. A little word can set a flame that can light the whole woods or forest on fire. That's how powerful our words are. Our words have the power to light our whole life on fire. Whew! Man! As much as that looks as a negative, it can work that way as a positive. Your words have the power to heal your whole life, your whole family, and everywhere you tread your foot, God is with you. How much power is in our words? Verse 7, for every kind of beast, bird, and reptile, and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So James is saying here, we'll bless God, praise God, and all of a sudden we'll actually curse the one that God made, our brother and sister. Whew! Talk about bringing hurt and negativity and division to a situation. Your words have the power to bring, to lift, or they have the power to destroy. Whew! Praise God that we tame our tongue. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Your words have great power, church. Great power. Your health and well-being is attached to your words. Your health and well-being. I'm talking about not just physical health and well-being, emotional and mental health and well-being are attached to your words. When people walk around and say, well, people have this and that, and they talk about like mental disorders and things like that, they are literally breeding, and everybody that's listening to what they're saying, see, that's why it says in the beginning of James, being a teacher is a very, very strict, let me read it again, because I don't want to misquote it. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. What's the main thing a teacher does? Speaks. And people listen, don't they? So if somebody's teaching and they're teaching wrong, there's a strict judgment for it because there's so much power in what they're teaching. So everybody's like, oh, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a pastor. I want to lead this. I want to lead that. Well, guess what? My words, there's a strict judgment for them. They can cut or they can build. powerful. That's how much power is in our words that even James is saying here, you better be careful because there is a very strict judgment for the words that we speak. So it's not just my words that can cause me to stumble. As a teacher, as a minister, or as a parent, what you speak to your children literally has the ability to lift them or destroy them. There's power in words. So it's very important to speak God's word, because when you speak the word of God and use the name of Jesus, it does nothing but bring the kingdom of God into the situation. That's why you pray the word. That's why you speak the word. That's why you preach the word. That's why you teach the word. And that's why we started New Freedom, to get the word of God into people. Why? Because if the word is in you and the word comes out of you, the kingdom of God is built in you. Amen. And around you. Amen. We're going to see a great awakening in this area. Why? Because we're going to preach and teach the pure word of God. Amen. The pure word of God. And it's going to strengthen people. I'm so glad you're here tonight. I'm so glad you're listening online, because your healing is in your mouth. Your healing is literally in your mouth. Thank you, Lord, that I am made whole in Jesus' name. Woo! Thank you, Lord. What is it? Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word. How did he send his word? He sent it, the written word. Look, he sent his word. Every one of you have a Bible. That's the word sent to you. There's healing right here in my hand. But to get it from here into here, you got to speak it. And you got to believe it. But every promise of God's word in here, when it's spoken and believed, it's received. Whoo! Over 6,000 promises can be yours when you speak them and you believe them and receive them. Yeah, faith comes by hearing, but to be able to hear, somebody's got to be speaking. Just as much as faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, fear comes by hearing and hearing by the world. So when you hear the world, fear comes in. Fear comes in. Why? Because words of doubt are being spoken. There is nothing more detrimental to a person than to speak doubt over their life. To pray a faithless prayer over them. That's destructive. Very destructive. Not here. Hallelujah. Not here. We're going to speak faith. We're going to trust God. We're going to believe God. He sent his word and healed. Tonight, I'm sending the word and healing's coming upon your body in Jesus' name. You are the healed of the Lord. Oh, yes, imagine that. Yes, I'm healed. Yes, I'm free. Yes, I'm born again. Yes, I'm going to heaven. It's a great day. Amen. It's a great day to be alive, because we're the healed of the Lord. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Woo! Yes, God loves me. I'm full of love. Why? Because I know God loves me, and I speak love. I speak joy. I'm not speaking doubt. No doubt. I don't want any doubt. Just like I don't want any debt. So I don't speak debt. Let's speak financial blessing, reward, overflow, breakthrough. Why? Because words have power. And people get mad at you. They get so mad at you when you're like, yes, I'm the healed of the Lord. You may have pain. You may walk with a little limp. You may be struggling. Your body just hadn't caught up to what you're speaking. But I'm not going to listen to somebody, look at, you got a problem. Look how you walk. Look, you're going to be sore the next day because you played volleyball. You know, all these things. They'll say whatever. Now I'm not going to be sore in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. But you can't use this and do nothing else about it. And I don't want to get into that tonight, but that's like saying, yes, I'm the healed of the Lord. Yes, I'm healthy. Yes, no diabetes. But then you live horribly. There's a physical side to this thing too. You need to do your best physically as well. But I'm not getting into that tonight. Amen. But he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word. So the word has power to what? To what does it say? And delivered them from their destruction. So any destructive force, the word has the power, and God sent it. So how do you receive it? You got to believe it, and that sends it to you. Your belief system sends it to you. So if we went around the room here and say everybody, that's a bad analogy, not going there. That wasn't working. Something was starting, and then it just, so we'll keep going. So it is, the word is sent, But the healing comes when you receive it. So what I'm getting at here, if I send healing out by the word of God, be made whole in Jesus' name, and lay hands on it. Be made whole in be made whole in Jesus' name. The way that that comes to pass is the one that receives it. You know, because you can, I could go down 1,000 people and lay hands on, be healed in Jesus' name, be healed, be healed, be healed. And not everybody will be healed. But you still got to speak it whether they receive it or not. You got to speak, faith is speaking what you don't see. So if somebody's like walking around like this, and I lay hands and say, be made whole in Jesus' name, and they keep walking like this, I'm still believing that they're whole, whether I see it or not. That's faith. Amen? If I pray and they keep walking like that, I was like, well, I guess they missed it. What did I just, I literally just shot my prayer in the foot. I just destroyed my prayer by speaking doubt. That's how powerful words are. You have to continually speak life. Life, life, life. Amen. You will have long life. Amen. You will be prosperous all the days of your life. Amen. Hear and be healed. Amen. But someone has to speak. Speak to the mountain. What is your mountain? Tonight, what is your mountain? Is it physical healing? Is it mental? Is it emotional? Is there a struggle going on? What is your mountain? This sermon, this teaching applies to every area of our life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and life more abundant. So I'm giving you the abundant life. I'm giving you the side that God designed for you to have. Amen. And as you receive that, that mountain, all of a sudden, right into the sea it goes. It has to go. Because your words are building the kingdom. So if the kingdom of God is building you, the kingdom of darkness can't be there. So which building do you want? Do you want to grow in the things of God? Do you want to build the kingdom of God in you? Then start speaking it. Speaking the kingdom, speaking God's word builds his kingdom. You want more light in you? You got to speak the kingdom of God. Hey, spiritual growth. You grow. You become brighter. You become bolder. Amen. I got my healing. Now you be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let me give you a few scriptures before we close out here. See, faith and doubt speak. Just as much faith can speak, doubt can speak too. Doubt can speak too. But you don't want to speak doubt because doubt brings the negative. Doubt brings the negative. That's how powerful words are. Matthew 17, 20. These are scriptures about mountains because mountains have to go. A mountain is a bad thing. All right? Mountains cause you to slow down. They tire you out. When you climb a mountain, that's harder than rolling down the hill. All right? Amen. We go from what? Glory to glory. Faith to faith. That's not a mountain. That's mountaintop to mountaintop. Amen. That's not mountain to valley, up and down. No, it's glory, 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 glory. And you get the doubter that says, well, you can't live like that. Well, I can surely speak that I want to live like that. And believe God that I can live like that. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I've gone through pain in my life. I've gone through sickness in my life. I've done dumb things like took medicine on an empty stomach. Yeah, I've done things like that. But I still had to believe God. Amen. Even in my mess up, it's like, Lord, forgive me. I know better. But you got to be able to say within yourself, the Lord is my God. The Lord is my healer. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Matthew 17, 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So what are the keys to that scripture? One, mustard seed faith. So every one of us have mustard seed faith. The Lord put mustard seed faith in you. You didn't even have to strive for it. It's already placed in you because mustard seed faith will get you saved. Amen. It's already in you. Once the person hears the gospel, their mustard seed faith is like, I want Jesus. And there you go. You're born again. The mountain of darkness was cast into the sea when you said yes to Jesus. That's how easy it is. Why is it any different with healing? You just got spiritually healed. Physically, healing works to say, Jesus, heal my body. Thank you, Jesus. I am made whole. Amen. Amen. Whew, man, I feel it. Like, I feel healing. I feel it in my body. Amen. So some key points to that scripture. Mustard seed faith. Say to the mountain, you have to speak. So you have mustard seed faith, you speak to the mountain, and then God takes care of the rest. He comes down, he takes that mountain in your life, and he removes it and casts it into the sea. God does the heavy work. You just believe and speak that he can do it. But if your mustard seed faith is covered up with doubt, you can't even speak to the mountain. You can't even speak to it because you don't believe it can happen. So when doubt rules your mind or fear rules your heart, your speech doesn't have the ability to move the mountain because you don't believe it can be moved. See, you can believe it can be moved, but you never speak to it. There's your next problem. See the two keys? See, it's faith and speak equals mountain gone. But you can speak all day long, but if you're not speaking by faith, no moving mountain. All right? Or you can have faith that moves mountains, but you don't speak. You never talk. You never tell it to go. You're just, God can do it. God can do all things. Yeah, God can do it, but you're never speaking to it. Because maybe you don't believe he can do it for you. Maybe you can believe he can do it, but not for you. Huh? It says, say to this mountain. You speak to the mountain. Hey, you speak to the mountain. Everybody's waiting for the pastor to speak to your mountain. I don't even know your mountain. How can I speak to it? What did Jesus say to the woman with the issue of blood? Thy faith has made you whole. Yeah. Hey, she pressed right in and touched the hem of his garment. Yeah, her mountain was her sickness. But her action of faith was leaving the house where she could be killed and going into the marketplace, finding her way through the multitude and say, Jesus, you got what I need. Huh? She had many mountains she was dealing with. She had the mountain of the sickness in her body. Then she had the mountain, if she got caught, she would be killed. And she said, these mountains got to go. So she handled all of her mountains in one trip to Jesus. You, tonight, can have one trip to Jesus and clear it all up. Every mountain in your life can be made to nothing. You can flatten your path. So guess what? You know, in a mountain, you can't grow anything on a mountain. You know, it's rocks and it's hard. I'm giving you an analogy here. But man, when you clear the mountain, you got yourself a nice fertile field. You can start growing stuff. Your life will change when you get the mountain out of the way. You can start producing things. Amen. This is just revelation that just dropped in my spirit. You move the mountain, you can start plowing the field. You can take ownership of that place. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So take the mountain, get it out of the way. Sickness that limits you. Yeah. Disease that restricts you from doing what God has for you. Get it the hell out of here. And then start using that. That's your testimony that you can start delivering the people. Amen. And you can help them toss their mountain out in the sea. Yeah. Hey, and then you get excited. A group of you go. Go share the gospel. And you're just throwing mountains out in the sea. People are getting set free, delivered, hey, healed, amen, amen. But if you can't deal with your own mountain, you can't deal with anybody else's. Amen. You can't help someone else see their mountain and get it removed. I'm not saying you can move other people's mountains, but you can help them see how to get theirs moved. Because I can't move your mountain, but I can believe with you and speak to it, amen. And when you receive it, then you move your own mountain. You're mountain movers. Hey, you're mountain movers. I don't care what the world says about you. I don't care if they say, well, my genetics, my genes and my family, we're cursed, man. All of us died of cancer at 40 years old. People say that. And their words are literally going to be self-fulfilled prophecy. Hey, not in my family, not in my life. Amen. I cursed that thing, and when I accepted Jesus, that curse broke. I got the blood of Jesus running through my body. Amen. Amen. I got the DNA of heaven. Hallelujah. And I tell that mountain to go in Jesus' name. Amen. move from here to there. So this mountain thing, I'll tell you, it'll get you. There's nothing worse than having a mountain in the way. It makes things difficult in every way, shape, or form. Amen. When you're trying to go somewhere, if you have to drive up the mountain, what is that? That takes more time, it takes more gas, it takes more effort. Everything is hard to go over a mountain. It's a lot easier to just get the mountain out of the way. A lot easier. Your life will be easier without the mountains in it. And you have the power to remove them. Matthew 21:21. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' it will be done." You do not get your shovel out and try to move your own mountain. Just speak to it. God moves the mountain. He casts it into the sea. You just say, "Hey, thank you, Lord, that this mountain in my life has got to go. Thank you, Lord, that this mountain is leaving in Jesus' name. Be gone." And then the hand of the Lord will come and lift that and move it. Just like He'll come into your life and any cancer cell in your body, He'll come and He'll take it out and He'll remove it. Amen. Amen. Any sickness, any disease, I don't care what it is, autoimmune disease, back pain, the Lord will come in there. If you do not doubt and you believe and you say, "Lord, I'm asking you, I'm thanking you that 2,000 years ago you paid the price that I will be made well and I be made whole in Jesus' name. I thank you, I receive that now." Bam! There goes the mountain. There goes the mountain. Do not doubt. Do not doubt. Why does he say, "If you have faith and do not doubt"? Because doubt cuts the ability for him to move the mountain. It cuts the hand of the Lord from coming and moving the mountain in your life. Do not doubt. Smith Wigglesworth always said, "Only believe." What a powerful statement. God will do the rest. You just believe he can do it. He'll do the heavy lifting. Last scripture, Mark 11:23. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and what? Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says." So what you speak and what you say, without doubting, God will honor and remove the mountain. So what are the keys to these scriptures? Do not doubt, believe that he can do it, and speak what you believe. What are you believing? Because your speech is dictated by your belief system. See, someone speaks doubt because they doubt. You speak faith because you're full of faith. So what you're speaking, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So where your faith level is decided about, or what your speech goes forth is decided based off of your faith. It really is. It's based off of whether you believe God can do it or not. Because you won't speak it if you don't believe God can do it. But if you believe God can do it, you speak it, you believe it, and you don't doubt in your heart, and you say, "In the name of Jesus, I am made whole." See, this isn't for this doesn't have to be a church service to do this. You could be at work and do something to your back and, "You know what? In the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you, I'm made whole in Jesus' name. Move that mountain out of my life. I do not receive that pain. I don't receive that discomfort. I don't receive that cough, that sniffle, whatever, that pain in my eye, pain in my back, whatever it is." There is no precursor to these statements. A mountain is something that is a hindrance. So when you look at your life, I want everybody to just close their eyes right now. I want you to self-examine your life right now. Is there a mountain in my life? Is there mountains in my life? I may have like the Rocky Mountains going on in my life. Mountain after mountain after mountain after mountain. I'm not confessing this, but you know, some people feel like they have a whole mountain range, not just a single mountain. But in God's eyes, there's no mountain bigger than another mountain. So you may have something very petty, you think, going on that's just kind of like a nag. Or you may have something small going on and you think it's the biggest mountain in the world. The Word of God does not differentiate between the size of the mountain. It doesn't say anything about how long the mountain's been there. It doesn't say anything about how the mountain got there. Whether you did something to cause it or whether it just came about and there's no sin in your life and you're living a fruit-filled life. And then all of a sudden there's a mountain there. A bad report comes. That's a mountain. And you didn't cause it. There's nothing you did to cause it. Like the man born blind. His parents did nothing wrong and he was born blind. But Jesus said, I have come to work the works of him who sent me. Jesus came to work the works of him who sent him. God came to love you and to set you free from every form of bondage the enemy wants to bring. Sin, sickness, disease, it doesn't matter. Whatever the mountain is, Jesus came to deliver you and remove the mountain out of your life. In Jesus' name. So whatever that mountain is, you need to speak to that mountain. Hallelujah. You guys listening online, amen. If you have pain in your body, put your hands where the pain is. Put your hand, by faith, put your hand where the pain is. Or where you were diagnosed, where the doctor says you had this, this, or this. Put your hand there without doubting and speak to that situation. Maybe you have heart troubles. Maybe you have lung troubles. Back, hip, sciatica, nerves. Whatever it is, Jesus, whatever the mountain is, you speak to the mountain and it must go in Jesus' name. I'll give you an example. I don't have any pain in my body. I have zero pain in my body. I had pain in my joints of my thumb and my fingers. I don't have any pain. No pain. No pain. But if there's something going on in my life, you need to speak to it. In the name of Jesus, I command this pain and discomfort to cease and be removed right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke this pain in Jesus' name. If you have pain in your body, rebuke it, declare it, tell it it has to leave. If you don't mind playing some instrumental music. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those listening online, we love you very, very much. If this has meant something to you, we want to hear about it. Send the testimonies of what the Lord is doing. The mountains He's moved out of your life. You listening online, I declare in the name of Jesus, be made whole in Jesus' name. I rebuke the devourer in Jesus' name. If you're listening online and you've never accepted Jesus, that may be your mountain. You may not even know it. You may not even know you have that mountain in your life. The enemy has blinded your mind and blinded your eyes to see and to know about Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your Redeemer. But to remove that mountain, you just have to ask Jesus into your heart and say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose again for me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'm born again. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer and you believe it, contact us. You've just entered in to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family. Hallelujah. Bless you guys online. We love you. Have a great week. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you have pain in your body, discomfort in your body, just lift your hand right where you are. Any pain in your body? Praise God. Nobody. Huh. James 5 is coming to pass. If there is any sick among you. Praise God, no sick. Hey. If there's any emotional pain. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If anyone needs prayer, you speak to it. Speak to it. I'll declare with you. I'll join my faith in agreement with you. I'll lay hands on you. But it really comes down to you saying and believing that you're healed. Hallelujah. I'm the healed of the Lord. And I say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, it says. Hey, I'm redeemed. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm made whole. Huh? I'm healed. I'm whole. Glory to God all the days of my life. Let me just remind you that speak life to your body. Your words have power. Great power to change any situation. Amen. Speak life over your family, over your marriage, over your children. Glory to God. They'll have long life. Amen. They'll prosper all the days of their life. Huh. Yeah. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Yes. That's the power of words. They build the kingdom of God in your life. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for each and every person here tonight. The revelation of the word of God and its power spoken over our lives. Let that settle on in our hearts. Let it go deep down on the inside. And Holy Spirit, bring it back to our remembrance. That as things arise, we speak life. We speak your word in faith over our lives. Each and every day. Yes, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Everywhere I tread, my foot shall prosper. My steps are ordered by the Lord. Yes. Psalms 91. Psalms 23. Speak them over your life. Yes. I am whole. I am healed. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Jesus sent his word and healed them. Hallelujah. He sent his word to me and I'm healed. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for each and every person here tonight. Glory to God. Great power in our mouth to turn any situation around and remove any mountain we have. Father, I thank you. Thank you for each and every person here, Lord God. Let your peace rest upon them. Let your joy and your love surround them. All this week, Lord God, let them know how real you are. Each and every day, walking in healing, walking in divine health. Huh, walking in divine wealth. No worry, no anxiety. Oh, I didn't even touch on that tonight. Anxiousness and worry. That's a mountain. That's a mountain that breeds more mountains. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Thank you, Lord, that we can make our requests known to you, that we don't have to carry anxiousness another day in our lives. No fear, no worry. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. As we leave here tonight, I ask that you watch over each and every person, Lord. Why? Because words have power. Surround each and every vehicle in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Words have power. Surround our homes, Lord God. Protect us from the snare of the enemy. Ha, in Jesus' name. See, words have power. You speak life over your body, over your family, even everything that you own. Protect it, Lord. Watch over it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a good week this week, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Ha, hallelujah.